Welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly podcast, where we critically dissect some topical developments with a leadership and management theme. I'm business and finance journalist Matt Packer, and in this podcast we'll be exploring stories up to Friday, the 24th of August. Joining me in this endeavour is the Institute's Head of Research, Policy and Standards, Kate Cooper. Hello there, Kate.
Hello, Matt.
All right, well, our first story concerns a powerful piece of free advice that one famous leader has given another. On the 17th of August, Arianna Huffington published an open letter to Tesla CEO Elon Musk, in which she critiqued the message that he's sending out about the use of human energy in the workplace. Huffington was reacting to a recent interview with Musk by the New York Times, where he admitted that he's working 120-hour long weeks and regularly sleeps on Tesla's factory floor. In her letter, Huffington questions whether this chimes with the company's values, writing, quote, "Tesla is revolutionary because it's about how we can most efficiently use energy. But at the same time, you're demonstrating a wildly outdated, anti-scientific and horribly inefficient way of using human energy," close quote. What's your take on Huffington's intervention?
It really depends on whether you believe that Elon Musk is this one-off genius and that there is nobody else around him that can possibly deliver the creative energy and ideas that he's able to provide. And we also, of course, applaud often the tenacity and the diligence of the founder of an organization who, in order to make it successful, makes it the number one priority. So an awful lot of popular opinion would say, well, it has to be him because he's fantastic and it's his business, so we can understand the passion. So the question is he really that unique? What is he not doing to encourage similar sort of talent around himself? Mm. What is there about him that can't trust anybody to do whatever he's doing when he should be asleep? Mm-hmm. And as Arianna's saying, he's not recharging. So even if he is the most brilliant of the brilliantists, he's not as brilliant as he could be if he was actually having some proper rest.
Yeah, and I think amid his dedication, what's kind of getting lost in the mix is that finding and developing people around you is a talent as well.
Absolutely. And of course, the problem with these brilliant scientists is that they are so driven by themselves that they do find it difficult encouraging, inspiring and indeed seeking out other people who could become almost as good as them. Mm-hmm. But of course, there will be many entrepreneurs, real workaholics around the world who will say, well, I did it, didn't do me any harm, and look at my organization today. Mm. And that's almost a counter narrative to you've got to have rest, you've got to take your health seriously. And I think overall, that's the most important thing.
Okay, well, speaking of taking the pressure off people, finance giant Morgan Stanley has announced that it has set up near-site childcare facilities to serve staff at the firm's offices in Glasgow and Canary Wharf. The units will be run by specialist childcare provider Bright Horizons, which found in a recent survey of families who use workplace nurseries that 90% of them would consider access to such services as important in their decisions to return to work after maternity, adoption or shared parental leave. What are your thoughts on Morgan Stanley's initiative?
If you are worried when you're at work about the proximity of your childcare, how quickly you can get home if you're needed to in an emergency, that it's such a long time away from your child, if Morgan Stanley can remove all those distractions, which is essentially what they're doing, well, then they are increasing the productivity and happiness of their staff, which, of course, is evidenced in the survey that people would see this as a benefit that is really, really attractive.
Yeah, it's kind of like a deal maker or deal breaker.
Oh, absolutely. But of course, we're finding increasingly when you're asking people about caring responsibilities, with the aging population, so many people are worried and distracted at work because they've got aging parents to worry about.
Yes.
Or those people that have children that continue having special needs into adulthood because of their neurodiverse conditions. So although this is probably brilliant for a group of people at a moment in their careers, it is a recognition of how you want your workforce to be able to concentrate on their jobs because you will help them with all the distractions, whatever they are.
So it's about seeing those factors in the round and across a sort of a broad spectrum rather than just focusing on childcare.
Yes, it's about understanding, of course, that people have demands on them that are taking their attention away from work. And a really good example, which we don't often hear much about, is people who are in debt.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolute worry having creditors phoning you, worrying about whether you're going to meet the instalments.
Yes, I mean, I can imagine that piled onto work stress would be quite terrifying. Well, on a much more reassuring note, we now turn to the theme of humble leadership. And this is thanks to a recent Forbes interview with the new president and CEO of Manhattan's Central Park Conservancy, Elizabeth W. Smith. In the interview, Smith consistently shifts the spotlight away from herself and onto the people she works with, saying, quote, "One of the things that surprised me when I got here was that there was so much I didn't know. I needed to get to know the staff, and I needed to get to know how the park actually worked," close quote. She adds, quote, "My father and grandfather were businessmen and philanthropists, and they were allergic to pretension. They were humble in the way they dealt with everyone. I learned from them that you have to listen because you have to respect people and the work they've done," close quote. What's your view of humble leadership as a management style?
I think it's interesting that she equates humility with admitting that you don't know something.
Hmm.
And I think if anything has resulted from the explosion of information that is now available to everybody through Google and other search engines, we know how much we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And how reluctant so many people are to admit it. Because, of course, she can't know everything. I think it's great that she's managing the central park that is so valued by so many people. And how could you not work for this organisation and not be a bit proud of the work you do and the contribution you make?
Absolutely.
So she's starting from a great place, that we all are working for this higher purpose and we can be values driven. But particularly impressed with her understanding of how much she needs to know, because often people go into a new job and rather than really trying to understand what it is, they try to change it into something they do understand.
Mm.
And I have seen that personally, and I've heard about it so many times.
So it's very much about doing the job that's in front of you rather than the job that you kind of imagine or wish that you had.
Exactly. It's about finding out what they're doing, because if you genuinely believe that the people are your greatest asset, well, listen to what they're telling you.
Excellent. Okay. And while we're talking about learning from things, we have a case of everyday sexism to consider, courtesy of TUI Airways. During a 15th of August TUI flight from Cyprus to Bristol, stewardesses handed out free stickers to the children on board, with boys receiving ones emblazoned with Future TUI Captain and girls receiving an alternative design saying Future TUI Cabin Crew. Unfortunately for the carrier, one of the passengers happened to be renowned scientist Dame Gillian Morgan, who later made her displeasure known to Metro.co.uk. In a 22nd of August article, she said, quote, "We desperately need more women to do science, maths and engineering, but little things like this take us backwards by restricting roles. It actually stops us as a country getting the most out of our workforce," close quote. What are your thoughts?
I can't believe this has happened in 2018.
Mm.
When there's so much press about gender stereotyping, and not so recently, John Lewis announced that they weren't having a boys and a girls section for clothes, and a shoe manufacturer had to withdraw a line of shoes because they were dollies for girls and leaders for boys. Who thought of it? I cannot believe anybody thought that this was a really good idea. Oh, I know, let's get some stickers. Because where have they been for the last 5 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's very much a case of you sort of think about the decision-making process that these things had to be commissioned and then reviewed. The designs had to be checked. The whole thing had to be signed off. And at no point in the process did anybody say, this isn't really a goer.
If it had been me, I think I wouldn't have given them out. How undermining it is of the female cabin crew giving them out and almost saying, well, I could never be a captain.
Mm.
And the male cabin crew giving them out and saying, well, I wasn't good enough to be a captain. And there is not one positive message in all of that.
No.
I cannot see how anybody, as you say, and so many people must have signed that off.
Yeah, that would have had to go through quite a chain. And no one really said this is
my
this is
only
a bad
hope
idea.
With this one is that they actually found a box of these that were ordered 20 years ago and they thought they'd use them up.
Maybe that's the only logical explanation. Okay, well, that concludes this week's episode. Listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section of the Institute's website, which can be found at www.institutelm.com. That's www.institutelm.com. Thank you very much indeed for your insights, Kate. I look forward to exploring a new set of stories with you next week.
Thanks, Matt.